Well, good morning, everyone. It is a real blessing for me to be here. I'm really happy. For those who don't know me, my name is Mateo Osorio. I'm a Colombian freshman in Florida College. And this morning, I guess your first question in mind is, why is Mateo here? And I'm going to be really honest with you guys. 1 week ago, Sunday at midnight, I received this text message from Mr. Royce. I was doing some homework and I received this text message from Mr. Royce. He says, Mateo, do you want to preach next Sunday? Oh man, I was really scared. A lot of doubts and fears filled my heart. Are you prepared yet to do a lesson? Is your English good enough? So I looked through some sermons I had in Spanish. And I found this one. It says, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I said, okay, I will text Brother Royce later, maybe tomorrow. So I went to bed. I said, I have some exams tomorrow. So I went to bed. But guess what? I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep. I was thinking a lot about it. And so I woke up. I said, I'm going to text him. I took my phone and I texted Mr. Royce. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, and here I am. So, well, we're gonna be learning a little bit about David and how he strengthened himself in the Lord. And we're gonna have like our main passage is gonna be 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. If you want to turn your Bibles there, it'll be good. We're gonna study a little bit about this story. It says, moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his son and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What is the first thing you do when you're in trouble? We all have problems in a certain point in our lives, but we don't all treat them the same way. So it will be good to ask ourselves, what is the best way to treat our problems? So our example today is King David. And this is just a list of some things that happened to him during his whole life. He was persecuted by King Saul. He was saved from several assassination attempts. He spent a lot of time hiding in the desert. His family was kidnapped on one occasion. His friends turned against him until they were ready to kill him. He passed the shame of committing fornication and murder, and his son Absalom killed his brother. What a tough life. A lot of problems, a lot of problems. And these and many more situations were part of King David's life. But the good news is that he managed to survive all of these, and he's still remembered as a man after God's heart. So an obvious question here will be, how did he do it? How did he manage to go through all these problems by his own? Well, the truth is that he was not by his own. So we're gonna, I'm gonna give you a little bit of context of the passage I read a couple minutes ago. So the Philistines were preparing battle against Saul. And David was in the middle of the Philistines. So, of course, they distrust David and his men. And they sent them to Ziklag. I really had trouble saying this one, Ziklag. I think I said it wrong, so I'm sorry. So we're going to read a little bit more about this passage. It says, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 to 6. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the woman and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. When David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters have been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's wife had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. So when David lost his family and his life was in danger, what was his reaction? The scriptures say, but David was strengthened in the Lord his God. And I have said this like a million times now. So what does it mean to be strengthened in the Lord? That's what we are going to try to understand today. And if we want to understand what does it mean, we need to understand what his feelings were in this moment, what David's feelings were in this moment. And we can know that in the songs that he composed, because we will be able to see his fears, his sorrows, his doubts, his petitions he made to God when he was going through hard times. So during trials, David composed songs when he was persecuted by Saul. It says in the Psalm 59, verses 1 through 4, deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Set me securely on high way from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who do iniquity and save me from men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life. Fierce men launch an attack against me. Nor for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord, for no guilt of mine, they run and set themselves against me. Arouse yourself to help me and see. Maybe we're not persecuted nowadays as David was, but every day we have to deal with bad influences in our lives. People and the whole world is pushing hard on us to make us give up our faith. Co-workers, friends, family, you sometimes feel absorbed in this world while you're trying to stay faithful. Have you felt like David? That everything seems to turn upon us. If not, we should ask ourselves, why is this not happening? Are we living our lives as everyone else? I hope not. So I'm gonna bring this illustration. I hope this is helpful for you guys to understand me. So let's think of life as a river in which the majority of people is running in one way. The normal current is going in one direction. And we, as Christians, we are commanded to swim against that current. So let me tell you guys something. If we are not struggling at all in swimming, are we really swimming? Or are we just letting ourselves to get pulled by the current? A passage that came to my mind was Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. It says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is in rich mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Brothers and sisters, we won't know the river's strength until we really try to swim against it. But there's a beautiful part of this thing, and it's that we're not alone. We have a big family to fight with. We have a big family to come together, to pray and to sing together and to encourage one another. So if we come back to David, David was determined to keep praying to God for help. Psalm 59, verses 16 to 17, it says, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in this morning. For you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. All my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. So, how did David become stronger in the Lord when he was a prisoner in Gath? It says in Psalm 56, verses 1 to 2, be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long, for there are many who fight proudly against me. Are we as Christians fighting? I hope we are. I really hope we are. Because we need to fight against our temptations, against our own desires, against our own flesh. And this is hard. And another passage came to my mind, and it is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 12. I think this is a really known passage. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his mind. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, he continues to describe the full armor of God. Let me ask you one question. Are we ready to fight? Do we have the shield of faith? Or do we have the helmet of salvation? If not, as I said before, if we're not struggling, if we are not fighting, there is no sense to put on the full armor of God, because the armor is for the soldiers. It's for those who are fighting for their soul. And I hope that's us. How did David become stronger in the Lord when he was hiding in the wilderness of Judah? Psalm 63, verses 1 to 7, it says, O God, you are my God, I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. I'm going to stop in here in these two passages. There is a song in Spanish that starts with these phrases, and it's really a help for me. It has been a help for me when I'm struggling with hard times. And I just needed to say that it's a really beautiful passage. And I'm going to continue reading. It says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. How did David become stronger in the Lord when he fled from Absalom, his son? Psalm 3, verses 1 to 2, it says, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Another question for today. Does become stronger in the Lord has something to do with our physical strength? Is it that God gives us like a boost of strength, and our muscles pump up or something like that? Is it like going to the gym and working out? No, we know it's not this way. It's not a physical strength. Our strength comes from the Lord. Those of you guys who have been to the gym in Boswell, in Florida College, know what I'm talking about. There is a big scripture in the wall that says our strength comes from the Lord. I follow one UFC fighter. I don't know if any of you guys follow UFC. His name is Khabib Nurmagomedov. And Well, he's a really tough guy. He's an undisputed champion. He has never lost a single fight in his whole career. He already retired. And he did something that took my attention. When he was preparing for fights, or when he had won a fight. And I'm gonna try to illustrate what he does. So he basically does this. And I think we all understand what he's trying to say. He's a guy from Russia. He's trying to say, and he's humble enough to recognize that his strength doesn't come from him. Although he's really big and really strong, but his strength comes from one above. And even if we're big, I'm not big, but even if we are, our strength shouldn't be put in our muscles, because we know that our strength comes from the Lord. And if I want you guys to take one passage from this sermon, it will be this one. Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. So we come to our last point, dealing with our problems today. So as I said before, we all face daily problems on a daily basis. Family problems, personal matters, work. And sometimes we try to fight these problems by our own, and we put God aside. This happens when we do not pray to Him, when we stop worshiping. Let us not forget that coming here is for our own benefit and to help others and to encourage one another. And I have heard this one. Let me fix my life and personal issues on my own, and then I can serve God and live for Him. And for some of you guys will be, you know, fine, I'll try to do it myself, and then I'll serve God, and then I'll worship Him. Guess what? God gets upset with us when we seek to solve our problems without Him. Let me bring some passages to illustrate my point. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8, it says, thus says the Lord, cursed the man who trusts in men and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a south land which is not inhabited. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Another example that illustrates why God gets upset with us when we don't seek the help in Him is Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 2. It says, woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceeded down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. The children of Israel forgot about God and they tried to find refuge in Egypt, and God was not happy with them. God expects us to put our trust in Him. We're going to read some passages in the New Testament that say that. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. James 4:8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Conclusion. So today we learned from David that in times of trial, he seek the Lord. So let us seek the Lord. Let us trust in him. Don't stop praying to him and asking him for help. And more important, don't turn away from your brethren in church. They are your biggest support in this world. And again, the passage I want you guys to take from this lesson. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. Brothers and sisters, the decision is ours. Are we going to reach the Lord's hand? He is willing to help us only if we come to him. Visitor, if you are not a Christian of the New Testament, we encourage you to change your life, to repent of your sins, to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission of sins. And more importantly, to persevere as a faithful Christian. Let us grab his hand. Let the Lord be our shield during hard times. Let him be the rock of your heart. Thank you very much.